Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Father, thank you that today I can embrace your truths and celebrate your love for me, your love for the world. Today I want to love others without pretending, without ignoring real needs that need attention. Would you show me how? Would you lead me? Would you take me to the areas of life I need to go so that I can love in a practical way without pretending? Amen. Folks, this is Don Crisp, and you are listening to the Good News Christian Ministries radio program. Again, as I say each week, if you wish to contact us, our mailing address is The Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's KOG 1WO. We continue in the Issues of Life series. We're speaking once again on the theme of love. Today it's entitled, Love Must Be Sincere. Love Must Be Sincere. I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. Listen to these scriptures. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, prayerful, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless those, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, do not repay evil to anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and in the right of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God. Lord, as we listen to those scriptures, we're reminded about love, and we're reminded that these are your words. Would you open our hearts, Lord, to what we've just read about love being sincere? Show us exactly what we need to see with our spiritual eyes, not just our physical eyes. Amen. Yes, again. The title of this message is Love Must Be Sincere, Romans 12, 9 and 10. You know, we learned a number of things from that passage of Scripture, but let me just share some things with you. It says that love must be sincere. It does raise the question what the word sincere means. Well, let's go back into the Roman culture of that day, the Greek culture of that day, and you go right into the marketplace, and what you will see is people selling all kinds of things. But there was always stands where they sold statues, where they'd made statues, and then they would sell them, usually, of course, statues of gods, because in that culture they believed in the existence of many gods. But the problem with the statues often were that they would become cracked. And so what they used to do is they would melt wax and they'd pour the wax in the crack and then it would harden and then they'd paint it and they'd put it on display to sell. But we know what happens once the wax hardened and it dried and then it began to reveal the crack once again. So if you went in the marketplace, you would see two areas where statues were displayed. One had a sign on it. The sign read two words from the Latin, sincera, sincera. What does that mean? The word sincera means without wax, without wax. That's what the word sincere means. But to say love must be sincere, it means love must be without wax. You know what that means? Let's just bring that to our own culture of today. It means love must be so sincere that there's no pretending. No pretending. Love must be sincere. God is saying that in his culture back then, at the time of the Apostle Paul, and he's saying the same message to us today. The love that we emulate, the love that we demonstrate to others must be sincere, without wax, no pretending. What does that kind of love look like? Well, again, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says, love must be sincere. Notice what it says next. Love must be devoted. A devoted love. Isn't that interesting? Ever think when people get married, they often say for richer or poorer or sick and in health, for as long as we both shall live. Nowadays, it's often for as long as we both shall love, because people seem to lack that commitment to stay in there, to make it work. And so it's, oh, you hear so many people say, oh, I just don't love you anymore. I fell out of love. You know, my message from last week dealt with this whole issue. Love is a verb. It has to be exercised. It's a muscle. It has to be exercised. You have to be intentional about it. You know, I talked about Trish and I last week, and these are one of the things I've learned as well, is if I want my love for her to be sincere, then I must be devoted to her. What does that mean? The passage in Romans 12:9 also says, I must honor her above myself. Honor her above myself. Honoring a person above yourself is a devoted love. It is, in fact, a sincere love. It was said of the early church in the scriptures in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, that they were devoted. I love that. They were devoted. Are you devoted? Are you devoted to the Lord? Are you devoted to his ministry? Are you devoted to the calling that he has in your life? That's what a sincere love really is all about. A love, that kind of love, that passage ends by saying, this is a love that never fails. Isn't that interesting? That's the kind of love that will never fail. A love that doesn't pretend. You see, that kind of a love respects. It treasures people. It appreciates people. It validates people. It celebrates people. It honors people. Those people that are so important, so very, very important in your life. You know, as we look at the scriptures as well, what God has to say in other passages, we're reminded, and we hear it at most weddings, what God has to say about love. And I want to read from the Message. I love this. This is the love passage that's always read. Listen to it. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. That's interesting, isn't it? It doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with everything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back. That kind of love keeps going to the end. The more familiar verse says, or rendition says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, it rejoices with the truth, it protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres. That kind of love never fails. Why? Because that's a sincere love. It's without wax. It's not pretending. Just think about those words for a second. Love is patient. That means if you're being impatient, you're being unloving. Love is kind. You know what that means in the Greek, the original language, when it says love is kind? It means, the word kind literally means to look beyond a person's faults and see their needs. That's what God does. He looks beyond our flaws. He looks beyond our faults, and he sees what we really need, and he comes alongside of us. Is that how you love others? That's how we should be loving others, looking beyond their faults and coming alongside of them. It's a love that doesn't boast. Notice boasting is built on pride. It's based on pride. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Those four go together. The person who's boastful, who's proud, who's rude, that person's self-seeking. They're not God-seeking. They're self-seeking. They're not seeking to respect and honor and treasure and appreciate and validate the other person or persons in their life. Oh, no, 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 no. For them, it's all about them. Also, love keeps no record of wrongs. Isn't it wonderful that when God forgives us, he buries those sins in the deepest part of the ocean, and he beckons us to walk with him from there on in? Therefore, when we have that kind of forgiveness and that kind of a love that is so sincere, then we come to that point where we can rejoice with the truth that God forgives me, God restores me, God loves me. He loves me. He protects me. And I can trust him, and my hope is in him and him alone. And finally, it said that this love never ends. It perseveres. You know what that word persevere means in the Greek? It means to take whatever you're going through in life. Perhaps it's a financial issue. Perhaps it's a relational issue. Perhaps it's a medical issue. Well, it could be many things. But the word persevere doesn't mean endure. It doesn't mean hang on until Jesus comes. The word persevere means to take whatever you're going through and use that as a platform to give God honor and glory. That's what it means. That's the sincere love that he's talking about. That's the perfect love that he's talking about, that no matter what our circumstances are, we use those circumstances as a platform, as a stage, if you will, to bring God honor and glory. Fascinating, magnificent truths from God's scripture. You know, I contend that we must learn to apply love. We need to learn to apply love both locally and globally. We need to apply love locally in our marriages, in our families, in our church families, in our communities. But we also need to learn to apply that kind of love globally. You know, we need to look beyond our borders. We need to look for those who are in need. Last week we heard about Haiti and the children of Haiti. We're going to hear a little bit more about that today. But we need to come to terms with, if we're going to love the people of the world the way they need to be loved, then we need to be sincere in the way in which we do love. Paul Fritz shared the true story about a family that, I love this story, that always prayed at the mealtime saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let this food be a blessing to us." Nice prayer. One day, the smallest boy in the family looked up and he said, "Dad, every evening we ask Jesus to come and be our guest, but he never comes." His father said, "Well, we can only wait until he does appear." And the little boy thought for a moment and says, "Then why don't we set a place for him at the dinner table if we're expecting him?" Well, that really made Mom and Dad start to think about that. And so they set a place at the table. And the moment they set the place at the table for him, the boy smiled, the father smiled, the mother smiled, and then a knock came at the door. And they opened the door. Now, the boy thought it was Jesus, right? But it was actually a homeless person who was very hungry. And the boy brought him in and said, "Jesus couldn't make it tonight, but he sent him." I love that. And they fed him, and they led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that story. Let me tell you another one. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to once a year have special meetings to raise money for orphans. Many would come to hear the messages of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the greatest preacher, called the prince of all preachers that's ever preached. He would give abundantly to the work of the Lord, which housed orphans. After one of the meetings, a super spiritual, narrow-minded, nitpicking individual sharply addressed Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he said, "Mr. Spurgeon, I thought you preached for souls, not for money." Spurgeon gravely replied, "Normally I do preach for souls and not for money. But these orphans you see can't eat souls. And if they did, my brother, it would take at least four of you, the size of your heart, just to give them one square meal." That was a little harsh. But I think his point was well taken, wasn't it? The reality is, of course, we're to preach for souls. But the fact of the matter is, those souls are hungry. And we need to come alongside of them, and we need to feed them. So much to think about. Father, would you just open our minds to what we've heard this day and lead us to where we need to go this day? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends in the studio today, once again I have my wife Tricia with me. Welcome, Tricia.
Thank you, Donald. And we also have with us to welcome once again our young sister in the Lord, Brianna Bedore. And last week she was here telling us about the wonderful, stirring love story of how 31 Haitian children, orphans due to the earthquake in Haiti, became part of her life and a very big part of her life through the vision of her little son, Landon. And so we're going to let her continue to tell this story that stirs our heart. We're just so excited about her passion for those children in Haiti. And as you were speaking, Donald, about her devotion, because it's all about God. Yes. And it's a platform. It has become a platform, a wonderful platform, to tell about God's love and faithfulness. So, Brianna, continue to tell your story.
Thank you for having me here. I just wanted to start by thanking you. I'd also like to thank God for opening my eyes and opening the eyes of everyone involved in this ministry right now. It's just so wonderful that we can all come together to be a part of this, to support children who, you know, lived through something horrific. And these kids truly are survivors. And, you know, in the way that it started, really with the vision of my own child, it just speaks to me and says that kids are kids. It doesn't matter where they live in the world or what their circumstances are. Kids are kids, and we're all connected, whether it's local or global. So I just wanted to mention that. And, you know, the fact that it did start with children, it's really branched out from there. And the ministry has grown largely in part to First Baptist Church in Smiths Falls. Having their support has been absolutely incredible. The way the program first started after Landon's Bakery, when it did turn into an actual sponsorship program, we have a committee at our church called the Mission Planning Team. They needed to do a lot of research in terms of Dudun and her background, her intentions for the orphanage, because truth be told, they didn't really know anything about her when I came to them with this idea. They really didn't know a lot about me. I was a new member to the church. So for them to have that kind of faith in me, to me, shows that their love is sincere. And this was what the message was about today. So I think that that's you know, a testament to the church and to the congregation that they practice what they preach, and you know, they are who they say they are, which is important for me as a believer. I want to be following some place and someone that has strong leadership skills. Dudun Batcherville also needs to be thanked, because, you know, without her volunteering to take in these children and use her gifts and talents to facilitate and organize an entire orphanage, I mean, where would these kids be without her? So I'm blessed to have her as my partner in this ministry, along with First Baptist Church Smiths Falls, and we pray for Dudun every day. We hope that she ends up hearing this podcast and this live message, and, you know, we hope that she knows how much we care for her and love her, and how much we are behind her in supporting these children in Haiti. If people are wanting to jump on board with us and help, I want you to know that I know every single sponsor's name. I know every single donor's name. It's a personal program. She labeled me the coordinator. She said, "Brianna, I want you to be the coordinator. You're going to organize all this for me, right?" And I said, that's me. I'm the coordinator. So I think it's very important for this program, this ministry, to have a personal touch. I think that people need to know that, you know, there is someone that is noticing that they are doing God's work and that they are special people. And Landon and I and my daughter and my husband, you know, we pray that God pours special blessings upon all of the donors and all of the sponsors that are connected to this ministry. It's a team effort to keep these kids thriving. Right now, they're all going to school. They have clean clothes. They have food on the table. And this alone is a miracle. So we're blessed for that.
You know, I just want to interrupt here, and I'm just thrilled. You know, when you brought this vision from God to us and shared, and we again, as I believe most churches would be, we saw the God factor. This was, yes, God opening the door. Yeah, just God opening the door. And I love what you just said, Brianna. I mean, I saw Trish nodding her head as well when you talked about the personal touch here. I think that's so important, because as we read in the scriptures last week, and we'll be reading again today, we want these children to experience the love of Christ, but we also want the sponsors to experience the love of Christ. And so we thank God for you for what you're doing. Sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to jump in there and say the God factor, that's what this is about.
Yes. And it truly is, yes. I was going to mention the different ways that people can help. There's a unique aspect to the program, along with sponsorships, which right now at this present time are full, and thank you, God, for that. Another way that people can help, because as I said, the orphanage does need more money than just the sponsorship money to be self-sustaining. There was a suggestion last Christmas, actually, by one of our wonderful, amazing sponsors. She mentioned, you know, maybe having sort of a Gifts of Hope idea where people could purchase actual items that would get to the kids as they were needed. So I would send the list to Dudun, and as the items were needed, she would be purchasing them. So on the website that I mentioned last week, and I'll mention again in a minute, people can go on there and they can, right online, purchase a Gift of Hope for the children. Things like blankets, tuition, sheets, medical supplies, agricultural packs, school supplies. It's a tangible way to show your love and to show that you care for these kids and that you're thinking of them and that you'd like to bless them in that way. I email or mail the certificates. So you can actually give the paper certificate to a loved one and say, you know, I bought this gift for this child and I was thinking of you when I did it. So that's a unique way that you can help. If you'd like to just make a donation and jump on board our team and get email updates and get photos now and then you can just make a donation and you can mail in cash or a check to First Baptist Church, Smiths Falls. The address is 73 Beckwith Street North, Smiths Falls, Ontario, K7A2B6. So all you would have to do is mail cash or a check with a note that the money is to go to the children at the Centre V Orphanage.
You know, when we look at the process that you've set up and that God has led you to set up, we're so thrilled to be partners together in this as we look at this. Again, it's all about impacting these young lives for Christ. But again, I wanted to say the sponsors and those who are able to give are able to just join on that team. Talk to me for a moment about goats.
Well, actually, when we implemented the Gifts of Hope idea, Dudun sent me an email and she said, oh, Brianna, please add goats to the list. And I said, okay, well, that's news to me. I didn't know you wanted goats. And she said, well, we can't do it right now, but in the future, the money will be set aside. And in the future, we would like to start a small sort of, I guess, business in a way for the children so that they can be, selling maybe babies if the goats reproduce, selling milk, kind of being mini entrepreneurs to try to gain some skills for their own futures in Haiti. So this is something that people can definitely purchase on the website. I'm going to give you the website address again. I gave last week, but I'd like to give it to you again. So if you have a pen handy, it's lifecenter.weebly.com. I'll spell that out for you. LIFECENTRE.WEEBLY.com. I taught myself how to make a website when this program started, so it's my attempt at making a website, and I hope that you're all happy with it once you go through it and navigate.
Fascinating as we look at this, and you know, we have just a minute left. Is there anything else you want to say that just during this last minute that would encourage us?
I just want to say again, thank you to God, because really without the Holy Spirit sort of guiding this whole ministry and this mission, things wouldn't be happening the way they are. I truly believe that this is a God-focused mission. And just thank you to the church in Smiths Falls, First Baptist Church. Thank you to Dudun. And thank you to these children in Haiti who are changing my life, changing my family's lives, and really impacting us in many ways.
You know, the scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians 13 last week and this week, the first two verses says this: love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. That's what this is about. A love that doesn't give up and a love that reaches out and cares for others as we care for these children. Thank you, Brianna, for being with us again for 2 weeks in a row. It's been a blessing, and we just release this to the Lord. Father, we just ask that you would touch hearts. If there are people out there who want to support this, we just thank you in advance for this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My friends, as we think of these last two programs, we've been focusing on love. Yes, we're in that season called Valentine's Day season, which is supposed to be all about love. But you know, I want us to see the cross. I want us to understand that that's where God demonstrated his very own love to each one of us, Romans 5:8. And we must ask ourselves, are we demonstrating that love to others as well? Whether it's local to our community, to the needs that are around us, or whether it's globally, as it's the children of Haiti or wherever God happens to lead your heart. Because a heart that's being led by God will demonstrate the love of God to those who are in need. That's what it means to emulate the love of God. So I just pray today that we would recognize that that kind of love must be sincere, as the scriptures say. It must be devoted. It must be devoted, and it must put the other person first. That means sacrifice will have to take place. We need to sacrifice our own wants and sometimes desires in order to be Christ to people, to reach out to people. So many things to ponder as we look at these past two messages. But again, these are the issues of life. And as we think upon this, we must remember that the Lord loves us completely, and the Lord loves us with an everlasting love. And for that we say, praise God. I want to thank you for your prayerful and financial support of this radio ministry. As we begin week after week and go from month to month, we are recognizing the fact that you're part of the team. You're part of the prayer team, and you're part of the financial support team. Now look, if you believe that these messages need to be heard by those who already believe and by those who are yet to believe, then I'm going to ask you to commit this to prayer. I'm going to ask you also, as you pray, to ask God whether He would like you to financially support this ministry. Again, make your commitment to your home church first. Take care of your church budget first. And then stop, think, and pray and see if God is leading you to support the Good News Christian Ministries. And if so, write out a check. Mail it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. And if you'd like to reach me, you can reach me at my email, don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. That's don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. You can connect with us on Rogers Cable 927. You can listen each Sunday morning, CFRA, 6:30 a.m. Or you can go to CFRA.com on their website and just click on the podcast. Or you can go to Good News Christian Ministries, and you'll find all the messages that are being shared week by week there for you. Now, my friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. A church that points you to the cross, and might I add, to the loving heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. Do you know God's will for your life? A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles and precepts and premises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. And may you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope and truth and love. May we learn to touch hearts and lives for Christ. Amen. Folks, let's listen to Anne Murray singing, "Put a Little Love in Your Heart." Actually, God's the one who does that. May we be blessed as we listen to those words.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate. Oh, you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.